Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm getting more and more excited by the hour, Joe Rex Road. They're flashing it up on the screen right now. Taysom Hill expected to start at quarterback tonight for the New Orleans Saints against the Cowboys. The Taysom Hill era begins tonight in New Orleans. Looking forward to it.
Watch out, Cowboys Nation. QB power coming your way. Maybe some, you know, some screen game, little QB draw action, little flea flicker throw, but little Philly special New Orleans style throw into Taysom Hill. I mean, you can do so many things with that guy.
You want an early called shot?
Sure.
Taysom Hill throws a touchdown pass tonight of 40 yards or more. 40 yards or more touchdown pass for Taysom Hill. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. Like, the most likely would be like the Hail Mary at halftime. I mean, he's got a big arm. He can throw it a long way. Like, from like his own 40, bounced around a little bit, caught in the end zone. I could see that as a possibility. I could also see wide open receiver for a touchdown that he overthrows by 10 yards.
No, could be
we'll,
that too.
But we'll see. I'll remember that called shot. Let's see if it happens.
We'll keep a close eye on that one tonight. Chrissy on Twitch. Morning, y'all, from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. Good morning, Chrissy.
Hi, Chrissy.
I'm all revved up for the CFL playoffs this Sunday. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers hosting the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in the Western Final on Sunday, and the Toronto Argonauts hosting the Hamilton Tiger Cats in the Eastern Final, predicting a Hamilton and Winnipeg Grey Cup. Go Cats, go. Plus, Chrissy's watching NFL this weekend.
All right. Nice.
Can you imagine what the temperature's like in the CFL playoffs? You think NFL players are tough.
Right. But according to Bob Bowlesby,
we can't play.
We can't have outdoor football, you know, in the cold weather. That never happens. Only some of the greatest games in the history of the game of football have happened that way. But yeah. How about that? How about the CFL? You know, the CFL. Speaking old school, because Sam and Franklin, by the way, shout out to you for also loving Pitfall. I remember back in the day when, you know, ESPN was kind of new, and you know, there was a lot of stuff on there that just. Yeah, I mean, they were just trying to find content. But there was a lot of CFL games on ESPN, like, you know, in like June, July.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like when there was no other. It was actually great.
Yeah.
And that was also back when, I want to say, Warren Moon was still with the Edmonton.
Whatever they are.
Well, it's Edmonton Eskimos, right?
I don't know if they're still them, but yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, the Edmonton Eskimos, and they won. I mean, they won. Oh no, they are now the Edmonton Elks.
There you go.
And they've won. They won many, many Grey Cups.
It's going to be, by the way, Winnipeg on Sunday. High of 20 degrees, low of -3. 70% chance of snow. Football weather, baby.
Right.
Come on.
I bet you no one will show up because they got to be. You know, they got to be in the Fiesta Bowl to play football.
Joe, getting into the Titans, the linebacker position is an interesting one, both in the short term and the long term as well. As we talked about yesterday with Steve Lehman, every single one of the linebackers have been hurt at this point. When you talk about the inside linebacker position, Jayon Brown, Rashawn Evans, obviously David Long Jr., Monty Rice gets placed on injured reserve the other day. And it's interesting to think about. We've said a couple of times here on the show, I believe the best combo they have right now is Jayon Brown and David Long Jr. together. I think there's this assumption out there that once next year comes around, Rashawn Evans and Jayon Brown both not going to be there, not going to be a part of things, which, you know, probably if I had to bet, that's probably the way I would bet as well, that both of them won't be there. Are you convinced that both of them will be gone? Are you convinced that we're not going to see a Jayon Brown come back again next year like he did this year as well? Interested to see what the market looks like for that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if either of those guys were back. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the market will be for Jayon Brown. I mean, I think at this point he's had a lot of injuries. That doesn't help. And maybe that was part of, I mean, I think a lot of last year was just the economic reality of where things were. But I would say if he's back, it would be on another very team-friendly one-year deal. And I think the Titans would go for that. But you look at the other challenges for them and the cap and various decisions they have to make. And to me, I think Monty Rice has done enough this year. He has looked like a rookie at times, but he's made plays. I think he's made progress. I think they'd feel, and obviously economically, to have David Long Jr. in his fourth year, and to have Monty Rice in his second year, and then I don't know what's behind him, but that would be my guess.
Yeah, that would be my guess as well.
I think you have to, you almost have to do that with some of the other stuff that you are trying to do.
Look, I mean, let's make no sense. David Long Jr. is going to be making a lot more money. Like, David Long Jr. is a good player. So he's absolutely got to be a part of the plans moving forward. I don't think there's any question about that. You know, I thought Monty Rice in, you know, some moments this year has shown some good flashes. Now, it's obvious that Vrabel's got a little bit less patience with the younger players in terms of mistakes. Like, we talked about Elijah Molden earlier this year. You know, he got torn up in the first couple of games, and then Elijah Molden couldn't get on the field for a few weeks, and now he's come back in, and he looks like he's going to be a pretty good player for the Titans defense. Monty Rice was on the bench a couple weeks ago in favor of Dylan Cole out there. So it's not been perfect from Monty Rice for any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, I remember when he was selected in the draft this year, people were like, really? You took Monty Rice in the third round? What in the world's going on there? It's good to see that he's at least been able to come in and give you some meaningful snaps and that you might be okay at that position as you move forward here.
Yeah, I mean,
I think you're more than okay with David Long Jr.
Right. I mean, I don't think this has been an overall, like, discouraging year on the. I mean, that was my reaction. That was my least favorite pick on that day.
Yeah.
Was on that weekend was Monty Rice. But, you know, I think that I think he's done enough to show. Yeah, I mean, he can be a starting linebacker in this league. He's got to get better and all that, of course. But you're also talking about a guy who hasn't had a ton of reps. I mean, he started the season number four, which is why people were like, wait a minute, when you need a tight end and you need a receiver, and, you know, you're doing that. But if it turns out to be that you feel good about your starters next year and he's one of them, then it turns out to be a forward-thinking pick. And David Long, to your point, you know, he's making like $890K this year.
Yeah.
You know? He's going to get up to $1 million. Next year.
Yeah, he is.
But I tell you what, that's another, speaking of forward thinking, the idea of maybe trying to renegotiate and lock him up.
Yeah.
And not even mess around with him going to free agency. That might be something to think about because he seems to be on a pretty steep trajectory here.
I mean, that 2019 draft is pretty insane when you go back and think about it. Jeffrey Simmons, obviously A.J. Brown there. As well, Nate Davis, who, that's another thing, it's going to be interesting to see on the other side of the bye week. Like, is Nate Davis back and available after what seems like two separate concussions?
Yeah.
Yeah, Monty Hooker, DeAndre Walker, and then David Long Jr. So, really, you missed one in that pick, in that draft.
The Georgia guy.
Yeah.
So, by the way, that's when they picked Monty Rice. Some people were like, don't ever draft Georgia guys because of Walker and Isaiah Wilson.
Yeah.
I'd say that's a bad policy. I'd say you go ahead and keep looking at Georgia guys moving forward. There's going to be a whole bunch of Georgia guys.
You get to somebody, get the chance to draft somebody on that Georgia defense this year. Maybe smart to do that.
Yeah, I would not dismiss the Georgia Bulldogs right now if I were an NFL personnel person. But yeah, that draft. That's the thing. That draft was phenomenal, and I think clearly John Robinson's best and continues to pay off. And obviously, the next two have not been that.
JC in Goodlettsville texting in on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Unpopular opinion, A.J. Brown is not worth the big contract due to injuries and drop passes. No linebacker is getting paid. They'll sign cheap free agents. This coming from JC in Goodlettsville. Saying they're not paying a linebacker big money, they'll sign cheap free agents, and A.J. Brown not worth a big contract coming up.
Well, I don't know if he means including David Long. I think they might pay David Long moving forward, but I would agree. I mean, I would agree with Sean Evans. I think he'll be elsewhere. I don't know what. You know, I really don't know what's going to happen. I also think Rashawn Evans could be a big part of things the rest of this year. Like, it's important to get him back. Five games in a row missed with the ankle. Now, it's important to have him available, but next year, no. Jayon Brown, like I said, I mean, I think they could pay him some to come back if that's how it works out. But yeah, it's not going to be a big deal.
What do you think of the A.J. Brown stuff?
Yeah. The drop passes thing, I'm going to reject that out of hand. Yeah, he drops some passes sometimes. Do you want to go to the tape on drops versus big plays he's made? I mean, it's, you know, it's not close. Now, the injury thing is, it's, I guess it's at least worth starting to think about. Like, is he going to start being more? I mean, but what has he had? So he's got the chest right now.
Yep.
He had a hamstring this year that cost him a little bit of time.
The knee.
He had the knee. He had the surgeries last year. He played through it last year. He was actually incredibly effective given those injuries. I mean, to me, that's the biggest question is, does he have anything that's just going to linger, that he can't get over? And I guess the most likely thing would be the knee. I don't know. I mean, I'm not I don't think you're alone in that opinion. I think that's probably a growing opinion. I get it. You always have to, in this league, things can rise and fall quickly. But at this point, I'd be in the camp of sign him.
A.J. Brown's going to get another contract with the Titans. You know how long they've been trying to find a receiver like A.J. Brown? 20 years. That's how long.
Not John Robinson, though.
That's true.
Just five for him.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. .5 The Game Preds Game Day broadcast brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens and baths on the web at GoHermitage.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Scheduled to be joined by Predators head coach John Hines coming up at 7:30. So looking forward to that. Have the best and worst things in sports coming up at 7:45 as well. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ron texting in. Good morning, guys. Is there any way that Joe and Robbie can put some kind of jinx or voodoo on the Colts this week to give us a little bit more room? It's coming from Ron on the text line. The Indianapolis Colts taking on those mighty Houston Texans this weekend. So what kind of voodoo you got for that, Retro?
Yeah, boy, I tell you what, you may need to get the Ouija board out for that one. I don't know. You get that reference.
Yes.
Michelle?
The Ouija board is the scariest thing ever. Yes, nice. I get the reference.
Okay. So this is one of those things I wasn't sure. Like, do people still do the Ouija board? Wow. I've done that as a kid, and it was freaky. It was freaky.
Yeah.
I think it was just like older kids making it seem like it was saying scary things, but still, it was freaky.
A little scared
scarred
Rex
you for
Road.
Life.
A little scared Rex Road, yes. Yeah, I don't think you're gonna get a lot of help from the Texans against the Colts, but you got a big help. From the Bucs and from the Colts turning the ball over.
Yeah.
Because if it were a one game, you know, think about what I think we'd be talking a lot more about the AFC South all week had that result not been what it was, because you would then be looking at, I guess, a magic number of four. You would be looking at the Titans would have to go 4-1 to ensure winning the division. This is only, and of course, I'm talking in a scenario where the Colts finish 5-0.
Right.
Now, if the Colts finish 5-0, and I don't think they will, but you know what? They are playing well, and they've, you know, they got a chance to win, I think, most of their remaining games. You just need to go 3-2, and you're the division winner. So you're still in fine shape there. I still think that I don't have math to back this up either, but I know that the one seed is still considerably more likely for the Titans than not winning the division.
Correct. ESPN's FPI gives the Titans a 97% chance to win the division. So the football power index,
which is
on your side.
Infallible.
Yes,
math.
It is.
Yeah. Pro football focus grades included.
I got a texter asking, is there any word on Derrick Henry's healing progress? There is not to this point.
That's going to come a lot, huh?
Yeah. We're getting close to the time where people are like, all right, what do we think?
Yeah. That question's going to come a lot, and then meanwhile, we'll see if we keep hearing about how the training staff and medical staff need to be fired.
We'll hear a few more of those for sure.
But by the way, last game was, I think, probably the most injury-free game they've had maybe all year. I mean, Monty Rice got hurt.
Yeah.
Who else got hurt? One other person, I forget, got hurt. But, I mean,
Well, Cody Hollister looked like he got absolutely destroyed, and then he was back in two plays later. Yeah. I don't remember who else
there was
hurt.
Somebody else, but, I mean, like two guys.
Yeah.
So maybe the medical and training staff have completely changed their methods, and now it's fixed everything.
By the way, I was thinking the other day about the Houston Texans with Tyrod Taylor. Not really that bad.
Well, yeah.
The other day.
Yeah. And then that may have been overstated.
They lost to Zach Wilson and the New York Jets.
Yeah, that may have been overstated a little bit.
But, hey, they're at home. Texans are the home team in this game.
Well, I mean, look, if that's a one possession game in the second half, will you be surprised?
Yes.
Yeah? I won't be surprised.
Yes, I will. I don't think they have a prayer of slowing down Jonathan Taylor. The Colts are 9.5-point favorites in this game.
I mean, I think the Colts are going to win by about 14 to 17 points, but I'm just saying it could be interesting for it's the NFL.
But the Colts, I mean, after that, the Colts have the Patriots, the Cardinals, and the Raiders in their next three-game stretch.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not winning all three of those. I'd be surprised.
I wouldn't think so. And if they just lose one of them, again, then the Titans need to beat Jacksonville and Houston to win the AFC South.
Yep.
So it's still, to me, the focus. I mean, it's not the focus of the Titans. The focus of the Titans is get in the cold tub and try to beat the Jaguars, okay? But the big picture potential here is still the one seed.
JC texting in, Joe, do you remember how disappointing it was to pre-order and pay $50 to find out Atari Pac-Man barely resembled the arcade game?
Well, that was I already knew that, but like when I got the Atari in fourth grade, which was – probably the greatest Christmas I've ever had. Yeah, I would say so. I mean, that was the disappointment was, the Pac-Man for Atari was just like the graphics were like, I mean, it looked nothing like the arcade video game. And yet it was still amazing. But Defender.
And yet.
Defender. How about Defender? Anybody?
I don't know what that is. Shout?
It's basically a spaceship game. Space Invaders was another one, right?
Yeah.
Like where but in Defender, you actually went horizontally.
Really?
You go through the screen.
Oh
yeah. It was awesome.
Tyler from Berry Hill texting in. If you guys look at the Ravens, Chiefs, and Patriots schedules, how many more wins do you see on each of those schedules? Look, we said this the other day. I feel like the one seed in the AFC – the final record, I think, is going to be 12-5. Now, I think there could be multiple teams at 12-5, and it may come down to some tiebreakers. I would be surprised, not shocked, but surprised if somebody ends up 13-4. I think 12-5 is going to be where it finishes up.
I mean, the Patriots they've got Bills twice sandwiched around Colts. We are going to – look, Patriots, credit to them for beating the Titans, despite giving up 270 rushing yards. We're going to find out a lot about them. They're the darling now. We'll see. The Ravens, let's see. At the Steelers, at the Browns, against the Packers, at the Bengals, against the Rams, against the Steelers. And I know the Steelers look like dog water right now.
They got some tough ones coming.
But that's – I mean, the Ravens have some losses coming. I don't know how many. They've got a couple. I mean, maybe they only lose a couple of those. But going back to Cleveland, going to Cincy, I mean, the Rams and Packers coming in, I think they've got some L's. And who else? See, I think of those teams, the Chiefs are – that's the team that you look at and say, well, have they figured it out? They are playing defense again.
They've got three straight divisional matchups, the Broncos, the Raiders, the Chargers, and then you finish with the Steelers, Bengals, and the Broncos again.
So Broncos and Raiders at home, that are a revenge game opportunity at L.A., Steelers at home, at the Bengals, and then at the Broncos. And the Broncos, who I've just disrespected all year.
6-5.
I mean, they play some D. They can be tough in that city especially. See, I could see the Chiefs like only dropping like one of those.
Yep.
I could see that.
Oh,
but that's to your point. So if that's the case, then you're talking 12-5. If the Titans can finish 12-5, well, the Titans get the one
because
they have the tiebreaker. So – again, I've seen a fair amount of forget the one now. No, not at all. I mean, you have to just become a whole or a partially whole, somewhat whole football team again and win a football game, and then you're back in that race.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Predators head coach John Hines. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators assistant coach Dan Hynote. Dan, what's going on, man? How we doing?
I'm doing great, man. Just getting ready for a little morning meetings and ready to take on the big bad Bruins.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Obviously a big night the other night for Philip Forsberg, 4 goals on the night, 4 beautiful assists from Mikael Granlund as well. When you have a player that's on like Forsberg was the other night and he's feeling it, and obviously after you see the second one go in, like at what point as a coach do you know that that could be a pretty special night for one of your guys?
Yeah, I mean, you're always hopeful. You know, with goal scorers being so streaky, you see a guy, you know, like Forrest get too early, you know, it's in the back of everyone's mind that that, you know, he's gonna get that third, or at least you hope so, or at least get the opportunity. And you know, his work away from the puck allowed him to do that, because that was probably the best overall game I've seen him play.
Well, Dan, how would you put into perspective what Granlund is doing? And obviously that night, I mean, what, the 12th player ever to be the primary assister on a teammate with 4 goals or more, but just as a playmaker, as an all-around player for this team, how important is he? How would you characterize his season so far?
Well, he's been phenomenal, and that was what he was last year for him. You know, maybe the point production wasn't the same, but his effort on a daily basis was exactly what he's given us this year. The nice part is it's going in, so you know, he's a big part of our engine. You know, we run through him and his hard work, and you know, it's not just offense. You know, I just was watching some penalty kill, and you know, he's diving to get the puck out. He's like a minute and whatever into a shift, and he just it's never quit with that guy. And you know, from a coaching perspective, it's great because our young guys get to learn from him. You know, he's on the ice 20 minutes early, he's doing some work, he's doing shooting, he's on 20 minutes late. You know, like he's when you write it up for your young guys, and you're like, hey, follow what this guy does, Granny's the guy.
Dan, 22 games into the season, obviously you guys right now in a good spot in the standings. What do you like about what you've seen from your group so far this season, and what do you think are some things that you guys may still need to work on and improve on as you move forward here?
Well, you know what I really like is these guys practice like maniacs. You know, Heinze brought them in camp and kind of laid the foundation. And they haven't taken a step back since. So, you know, he drives a hard-working practice. We don't keep them out there overly long, but they work, and they battle against each other, and they really like each other. So it's fun to be a part of, because it's really good energy in the locker room and on the ice. So, you know, that part of it is fantastic, because that'll pay dividends going forward, as well as our development for our young guys seeing that kind of level of practice. But I think what we'd like to see more of is scoring from other lines. You know, like we're getting periodic production from our other lines, but our big line's been doing most of the scoring. So if we can get a little bit more balanced scoring throughout our lineup, I think that'll serve us better going forward.
And so what's the key there, Dan? I mean, obviously, sometimes you have players who just go through stretches, and I know Tolvanen in particular right now is doing good things out there, not seeing it go in. But like from the coaching perspective, how much do you guys consider, you know, tinkering more with the lines and things like that? Like, what do you think is the key to get some of that?
I think it's just, well, usually it comes down to your work away from the puck. And right now, you know, Cunnan and Tolby, Tomasino, these guys have all created a ton of chances for. It just isn't going in right this second, and you know they're all kind of streaky goal scorers. So you know, once the floodgate opens, that it'll start going in for them. But you know, in the meantime, you have to be patient and play the right way, and they are doing that. So you know, there's many ways you can help the team. You know, Tolvi's a shot blocker and a hitter. Cunnan goes to the net and battles hard every night and will shot block. You know, Tomasino's good energy and you know, blah blah blah. So all these guys are still doing things, you know, that are helpful for the team. They're just not scoring. But when that starts to go in for them, you know, we could be really dangerous.
Predators assistant coach Dan Hynote on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Dan, speaking to some of those younger guys like the Tomasinos and the Tolvanens and the Novaks of the world, what stands out to you about their development so far, particularly with a guy like Tomasino who's coming into the league at such a young age and getting used to the grind of an NHL season? What stood out to you about your young forward so far?
Well, you know what? He's got really good instincts. You know, he's one of those players where you can't understand it because there's no system that follows, but the puck just follows the kid around. And he always puts himself in a position to score. And the puck is bouncing to him, and it continues to do so. So he's getting tons of chances, that come from your work away from the puck and line mates, et cetera. But like I said, it's just not going in. But I'm really excited about his instincts. And that kind of player you can't teach. You can't teach that kind of thing. It's instinctual. So Novak's got some really good playmaking ability along with the ice in his veins. You know, so we're excited about that potential as well. You know, and Toby's a 200-foot player. So, you know, watching these guys develop, the nice part is when it's not going in, you have to be perfect in the other parts of your game. And so, you know, to me, those are the really, really important pieces to a young player's development is understanding how to play the game properly. And then from there, the other stuff just kind of is icing on a cake. So it's, you know, it's been unfortunate that it hasn't gone in, but it's been a good a way for us to teach, you know, systematic play and physical play and blocking shots and all these other things that they have to be good in when you're not scoring.
So, Dan, with Matthias Ekholm, obviously his role, he's got a huge role on this team and does so many things for you. When it comes to, like, you know, you talk about a little bit of extra scoring from other spots, like, would you like to see a little more offense from him? Is the lack of offense so far have to do with what you guys are asking him to do?
No, I think it, you know, chance wise, I think he's right on par with last year. You know, he's probably not seeing as many offensive opportunities from a power play standpoint, just because Yossi's healthy. But you know, we expect him to be, you know, Mr. Everything for us. You know, he's first over the boards on the kill. He's on the second power play unit. He's got the big matchups against the other team's size offense. So you know, he's out there for a you know, a good chunk of the game. So we expect him to continue on that level. He's also a vocal leader for us and obviously a leader in the way that he plays, you know. But I think last game he had six or seven shot attempts, you know, three good tips. You know, it's going to come for him as well. It's just, you know, his overall game is so good that the offensive part is kind of, it's nice to have, but it's not something that we focus on just that.
Dan, when it comes to Matt Duchene, I mean, obviously the numbers are eye-popping so far, 13 goals, 24 points, 22 games. I'm just curious, as a guy that's been around him a lot and that's watched him play, is there anything maybe, you know, confidence-wise that you just notice that's particularly different about Matt Duchene this year, or is he just finally being rewarded for, you know, being in the right places and getting around the net? What are kind of your thoughts on the way that Duchene has played and kind of taken the ball and run with it this year?
Well, it's his work, and this goes with Forsberg as well, but his work away from the puck has been awesome this year, you know, and it's kind of one of those things that you, there's no metric for it, but when you watch, and you know, we're watching film all the time, and he's putting himself above the puck, right? He's tracking back, which creates offensive gap, and he's putting himself above the puck, so when they turn it over, he's in attack mode and instead of retreat mode and try and catch up mode. So he's going to the hard areas. He's battling on pucks. Like, not that he didn't do these things last year, you know, but his work away from the puck this year has been the best I've ever seen him give. So, you know, I love that it's translated into offense and numbers for him. But, you know, again, like we said with Tolvi and the other guys, you know, there's, when it's not going in, he's still playing the right way, doing the right things, which allow, you know, more ice time, right? So when you're not a liability defensively, you get more ice time, you get more opportunities, and, you know, kind of snowballs from there. So he's done a great job, you know, doing the hard things right first, and then the offense has come.
Fred Assistant Coach Dan Hynote has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Dan, appreciate so much you taking time to join us this morning, and good luck tonight against the Bruins.
Thank you very much. You guys have a great day.
Absolutely. Thanks, you Dan. As well. Dan Hynote, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Big game tonight between the Predators and the Bruins. This is a good chance for them. You get a big win, 6-0 on Tuesday. Chance maybe to generate some momentum here at home before you head back out on the road next week. But this is a big opportunity for this Predators team tonight against Boston.
And another one of those, when's the last time we saw this team?
Yeah.
You know, with the and, of course, it's a team you don't see that much anyway.
But, the return of Craig exciting. Smith tonight.
That's right. How many boos will he get tonight? I wonder. Let's count the boos for Craig Smith.
Let's see what they got there. When we come back, it is time for the best and worst thing in sports for this week. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. We need your thoughts and your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, as we do every week, would you like to kick us off with your best and worst things in sports for this week? I'm looking forward to this.
Mine is kind of a combo.
Okay.
I shouldn't complain about, you know, the Preds pick to click stuff, because you guys let me go first here. I feel like we often like have similar things, and I think we might this week too, but maybe not. Hopefully not. Hopefully you guys are more creative than me, because I just went for the low-hanging fruit like I normally do.
Okay.
So I'm going to best and worst definitely go hand-in-hand. The best is college football. I mean, I had a Rex rant about this after going to the Michigan State game. You know, yeah. It's just the same thing. The kids, and I know they're young adults, but they are, to me, they're still their kids. And they're why we love college football. It's like Auburn's kids just spilling their guts against Alabama and doing everything to win a game they had no business winning. Michigan's kids just kicking Ohio State's butt finally after so long in that rivalry. Oklahoma State finally gets Oklahoma. The Vols seniors, who deserve so much respect, the ones who were there from Butch on, like, they talk about their five-star hearts, and they did have five-star hearts, Robbie. They did.
Champions of life.
That's right. They are champions of life. Coach O, you know, and I know he's not a kid, but just like that TD pass to send him on a high note. Michigan State, Penn State, Iowa, Nebraska. Sorry, Will. NC State, North Carolina. Like, so many incredible games. One of the best weekends I can recall. Sad, because it's the last regular season of college football. But it's just another example of why we love the sport, why it's irresistible, and I can't wait for every single game we have left.
This felt like the quickest college football season of my entire life. Like, it feels like Tennessee and Bowling Green just played each other, and now here the regular season is over.
Yeah.
It really does.
What are we going to talk about?
I don't know.
And so my worst is the adults in college football.
Oh, okay. All right.
Same thing. I mean, you know, Brian Kelly, whatever. What was it? 2 minutes? Was it three? Apparently it was 3 minutes and 38 seconds. He basically reads a press release.
Yeah.
After sending his little team apps text, he reads a press release, walks out without not a single question. None of these guys can even ask him a question. Just walks out of the room. You know, and then we got these fake, these slow-mo videos of him like sitting down and
staring off into the corner.
Just, and then you got Lincoln Riley, you know, with his just ridiculous press conference, mecca of college football.
Did you see his press conference, by the way, Brian Kelly? Like, he's trying to be funny the whole time, and he's just not funny.
I saw a lot of clips of it. Yeah, like, well, you like Garth Marks, huh? Actually, I think it was Charlie Burris. What's the Steve Buscemi? Yeah. Hello, fellow kids.
Hello, fellow kids. What's going on out there?
He had a great tweet when he's talking about Garth Brooks. Hello, fellow Southern country music fans. Brian Kelly here.
You heard that song, Colin Baton Rouge? Thank you.
Yeah, just a bunch of BS. Just BS coming out of every orifice, okay? And you think about the excess from these college administrators who, I mean, very recently, feels like a couple months ago, we got no money, COVID, we're cutting sports, here's a 10-year, $100 million contract. And then we get to yesterday. I mean, these guys can't even agree on something that would bring in $450 million. Let's hold off because – my interest here. Let's argue and have a little, you know, fling poop at each other. It's a joke. They almost ruin it, but the sport is so good that they don't. They almost do.
I like that. Michelle Knezvik, your best and worst things in sports.
Okay, I'm going to start with worst so then we can end it on a good note.
Okay.
How does that sound?
That sounds good.
Okay, so my worst in sports is about a former Lady Vol, Candace Parker, and this whole situation regarding her not making the USA team back in, what was that, 2016 when Rio was. So she did an interview with the Bleacher Report and Taylor Rooks the other day, and this was like the first time she kind of spoke out about the whole situation. I'm just going to play a quick little clip, okay?
Okay.
To have a situation where I went to a camp, I got a triple-double at the camp, was, I think, first or second in scoring. Like, it wasn't on the court.
Yeah.
So if it's me as an individual, as a person, I'm spending time away from my daughter to come and do these camps that I'm not even being judged off of how I'm playing.
What do you think you were judged off of?
I don't think I personally fit. I don't think Gina wanted me on the team. So I think it's one of those things where it's like, cool, like, just tell me. And then don't, you know, beat around the bush. Like, just tell people.
So that just made me very, very heated, because even if you don't watch college basketball or the WNBA, you know who Candace Parker is, one of the best women's basketball college WNBA ever. She should have been on the team point blank. And for her to say, you know, I just really don't think Gino wanted me on the team, I just think it's ridiculous.
Gino's a Vol hater. It's what it is.
Yeah. So that's my worst in sports. Kind of her just saying what she actually thought happened. And I mean, everybody kind of knew it, but now here we go. Okay. My best in, Joe.
No, nothing. I think it's Candace. I mean, he had Tamika catching it and loved her, but yeah, you know, I mean, he would always pick a UConn player over a Tennessee player, but this was personal and it's a joke. And I hope you thought I ripped him well enough. I don't know.
Yes, Joe. Great
article.
I feel
like it wasn't hard enough on him in 2016.
There you go.
But flipping to a lighter note, this is actually about college coaches. Kind of, Joe, what you were talking about the money thing. Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh to give all of his bonus money to Michigan athletic department staffers who had a pay cut during COVID. So as much as we know how much money they have, and they make a lot of it, for him to be like, you know what? I'm making a lot of money. I'm making extra money right now. I'm going to give it back to our department and to the people who make things happen behind the scenes. And there's so many jobs in the athletic department, all the way down to janitors, all the way up to ADs, just to help out everybody in the department. So that's
everybody
my
loves Harbaugh. Now.
It's a Harbaugh's. He's living a good life right now, man.
But that was a great gesture by him, and I hope Jim Chaney took note of that.
And more college coaches.
I forgot about that.
Millions and millions of dollars they're making.
I guess Jim Chaney probably made the right move there.
Yeah, probably so. What's he up to?
Get those last few bucks while you can, buddy.
All right, my best thing in sports. Number one, happy birthday to Aaron Rodgers. Good birthday today.
Ooh. So, how old is COVID toe?
38.
COVID toe, I think, is 38 today. So yep. You get that toe rested up and you're ready to sling that ball, COVID toe. Be ready to go after this bye week. Happy birthday, Aaron Rodgers. Number two, best thing in sports for sure this week, the Oklahoma fan base, and it's not close. Oklahoma fan base this week has been amazing to watch them completely unravel at the seams. My guy Parker Thune out there just foaming at the mouth when it comes to coaches leaving other jobs and looking recruits in the eye and crying and all these things. I sat back yesterday when I got like 30 minutes to breathe yesterday and just looked through Sooner Twitter, and boy, is it a beautiful place. I'm kind of mad at you for introducing me to this message board stuff now, because that's all I'm going to do in my spare time is just watch Oklahoma Sooner message boards from now on.
What's it? At Board Geniuses.
Yes.
At Board Geniuses. Did you find the one about the Sooner fan who's going to eat white dog poop?
Yes, I did.
If they get Dabo?
Yes,
hell yes.
Rooting for Dabo to get in there to Oklahoma now. Be good stuff.
Dabo and Venables.
And Venables.
Together.
The combo.
It's happening.
Get out of here, Clemson.
You just searched the
message
boards?
We're going to Norman. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can find they're all over the place. It's awesome.
So it's his Twitter account, at Board Geniuses, and they find especially outstanding message board posts from various teams. There's a lot to sort through this week.
Like
the Texas A&M one I read earlier.
I should join the Kentucky one.
It's great stuff.
I don't believe you that you're not already a Kentucky message board poster. Come on.
My worst thing in sports. Dan Campbell, Aaron Glenn, and the Detroit Lions for screwing it up last Thursday. It was right there for the taking. I was actively rooting for the Lions. It's 3rd and 9. You're winning the game 14-13. You've got a chance, at least even if Chicago kicks a field goal, to get the ball back, go down there and score. You call a double timeout. It goes from 3rd and 9 to 3rd and 4. And then on 3rd and 4, you play approximately 35 yards off the line of scrimmage. Andy Dalton throws a 6-yard pass. They get a first down. Game's over. It was right there for him, Joe.
I'm glad that you gave them recognition. However, I would say that should be in the best category.
No, it was the worst. I was pulling my hair out. Which I don't have. But was really rooting for the Lions.
But see, this is tradition. This is like, it's just like the fabric of college football, right? You know, the band and the alums and like the fabric of pro football is the Lions doing things like that. It's part of the fabric.
I have never seen someone play that far off the line of scrimmage.
That was amazing.
It was amazing.
Like
on the goal line.
Yeah, no, that was like Hail Mary defense on 3rd and 4 to decide the game. Fantastic.
God, it was amazing.
I'm glad you gave them their proper rate, because it's like that's been a week, you know, it's been a week now. So sometimes the stuff from a few days ago gets lost. Good job.
Thank you. Bob tweeting in, my worst is Joe not even mentioning the Apple Cup in his slew of rivalry games. How could you leave it out? Washington State.
And honestly, you know what? I'm not going to lie, Bob. Not only did I not mention it, I am now looking it up to see what the heck happened to that game. That's how off the radar. And normally, I mean, you know, I've got a pretty decent feel for that game. Let me look it up right now. I'm very excited. I'm assuming Wait a minute. Washington State beat Washington 40-13?
Sure.
Bob, your Huskies went down 40-13 to Kayla Anderson's Wazoo Cougars?
Was JG the quarterback? Is he still slinging around out there? Did he get hurt?
Well, he's been hurt all year, hasn't he?
I don't know.
I thought so. No, it's Jaden DeLoro. Went 27 for 32 for 245 for Washington State.
There you go.
Sam Heward, you know, Brock Heward's kid, who is like a 5-star QB. I think he's a freshman.
Yeah.
Ooh, 4 picks. Oh, man.
He'll be all right.
Don't worry, Bob. Hang in there, buddy.
Nate texting in, my best thing in sports is seeing the model pictures of the fairground short track remodel. Can't wait for it to be completed and to go to a race. Going to be good stuff.
That's a big
deal. I
think
there's a pretty decent chance you can see 2 NASCAR Cup Series races here in Nashville.
NASCAR. Short track.
Oh, nice. I like that. NASCAR. It's good stuff. That's even better than Caturday.
Hashtag.
Come on, Rob.
Good job, Michelle.
Better than Caturday. It's good stuff.
Michelle Perry.
No, I thought I came up with it, and Chase told me that I guess that's already a thing. Hashtag NASCAR.
Well, I mean, it makes sense.
But in my defense, I didn't know it was already a thing.
If you came up with it in your mind, then I still give you credit for it.
Thank you, Rex Road.
I believe you.
This has been the best and worst things in sports. We'll continue to take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll get back into all things NFL. Who do we trust in the National Football League? Is there anyone that we trust so far this season in the National Football League? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.